Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Yes, we're starting a new series today. Mark chapter 1. Our focus will be in the first 8 verses. But I'm going to read a little more than that. Mark chapter 1, this is God's word. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I love all of Scripture. I enjoy some parts more than others. I love the Gospels, all four, each its own unique presentation of the good news. And all of them have things about them that I really, really love. But Mark is definitely one of my four favorite Gospels. Mark is breathlessly racing to tell us the story. He moves from one event to another, one vignette to another, often joining them with the word "immediately." That's the way we translate it. What he's saying is, "And then this happened. And then this happened. And then let me tell you about this." Inspired by the Holy Spirit, influenced we believe very clearly, by the teaching of the Apostle Peter. Mark gives story after story after story after story after story, and the purpose is to proclaim the good news. Now, as we go through this gospel, you will see that he includes some details that the other gospels don't. But you'll see much more often that the other gospels include details that Mark doesn't. Mark doesn't give us the story of the nativity, not because it didn't happen, not because it's not important, but because he's in a hurry to get to the next part. Okay? Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Don't lose your place in Mark, but look at Acts chapter 1, and you'll see what the Apostle Peter said on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 1:21, Peter is speaking, and he says, "Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." He says, in choosing the replacement for Judas, we've got to have somebody who has been with us from the time of John's baptism. Okay, that's the starting point to the time Jesus was taken up into heaven. And that person will, along with us, be a witness to the fact that Jesus conquered death. He's alive right now. In order to proclaim Jesus, he wanted somebody who'd been in on this from the time of John's baptism. Okay? Again, that's Peter's instruction. And it's typical of the apostolic message. And it's precisely where Mark, who studied under Peter and wrote for him, it's precisely where Mark starts his gospel. He starts it, essentially, with the ministry of John the Baptist. Why? Because John the Baptist was sent by God to prepare the way for the Messiah. That was his mission. Why? Because that's what God had said. He says, it is written in Isaiah the prophet. And then he quotes one of the other prophets. Don't worry. He does that only as prelude for quoting Isaiah. He quotes, first of all, from Malachi, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way." And then he starts in with the fulfillment of that, prophesied by Isaiah, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." Verse 4, "And so John came." And so John came? Yeah, to fulfill what God had said through the prophets. God said it's going to happen, and so of course it happened. This was the mindset that Jesus imparted to them after Jesus rose from the dead. Over and over as he meets with them before his ascension into heaven, he says, you're so slow to believe what the scriptures said. All of this had to happen in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And so John came in fulfillment of God's promise to prepare the way. And he came preparing the way with full-blown sermons. Notice how much of his sermonic material Mark shares. Verse 7, "And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." I thought John came saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He did. He did. But Mark's point is not only to emphasize that Jesus also comes as the one who baptizes his people in the Holy Spirit. Mark is emphasizing the fact that John's message was about him. That's the point. John's message was to point people to Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Go back to verse 1. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. A couple of things we need to zero in on. First of all, it really is good news. A lot of times we act as if it's not. We're kind of embarrassed to share it, you know. It's you know, well, I don't want to upset people, and they'll probably not believe anyway, and I don't want to be rejected and seem like a, you know, some crazy person, so I guess I'll just wait for a more opportune moment. And somehow that moment doesn't arrive. If you found the cure for cancer, would you be reluctant to share it because, you know, people are going to think I'm crazy? You know, I found out that if you do this, it totally destroys all the cancer cells and leaves the rest of you very healthy. But, you know, people think I'm nuts. So I may share that with my grandchildren in case they ever get cancer, but I don't think really I ought to start, you know, trying to get on television and radio and spread the word. I mean, you know, I mean, really. Cure for cancer? Who's going to believe me? We behave so much of the time as if we don't really believe it's good news. Which raises the question, have you believed the good news? Do you believe that the God who created the universe cares about you? Do you believe that even though you've done things you shouldn't have done and you've failed to do things you should do, he still loves you? Do you believe that even though you deserve God's wrath, God became one of us and bore the wrath so that we could be completely forgiven and our debt be paid in full? Do you believe that? Do you believe the good news? Because if you believe the good news, it's just a lot harder to have a bad day. You know what I mean? I mean, sure, my leg just got caught in a bear trap, but this is not a permanent problem. It might leave consequences until I die, but when I die, I'm going to spend forever in the presence of my Lord and Savior. And so whatever's going on, I can put it in the perspective of God's grace, and all of a sudden, it's not nearly as bad.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
I share from time to time the story of F.B. Meyer, a guy who was a wonderful follower of Jesus and wrote a lot of good things. The one that I grew up on was his devotional book. My mom used to read it to me while I ate my breakfast before I went to school. Sometimes she read Spurgeon, but more years she read F.B. Meyer. And one of the stories that stuck with me was about when he was mugged. He was attacked in a public place, a park, and he was robbed. And he got home and he was really bummed out. And he prayed about it. And he began to realize some things. He said, I thank you, Lord, that although he took my money, he didn't take my life. And I thank you that although he took all I had in my wallet, it wasn't very much. And I thank you that I was the one who was robbed and not the robber. You see, if we'll just pause and go back to what we know, totally shifts our perspective. This is good news. This is really, 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 really good news. One of the Christian groups out there is saying it's not just good news, it's the best news ever. I agree. This is good news. And we need to believe it. And when we do, it'll change the way we think and feel and behave. And one of the things that'll change about our behavior is that we won't be afraid or ashamed to share it. Amen? Not only is it truly good news, but it is about Jesus. Look again. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is what the whole book of Mark is about, because it's called the gospel. The gospel of Mark, because what he's sharing all through the entire gospel is about Jesus. And that's what the gospel is all about. It's the gospel about Jesus. Please pray that that will take root in our hearts. That we'll realize the good news is not about this or this or this or this or this. It's about him. It's about him.
Well, but it must involve a changed life.
Yeah, if people really receive him, they'll be changed. Changed from the inside out. And one of the problems that so many of us have is trying to make a corpse look alive. You understand? The only hope for any of us is Jesus. That's it. If you know Jesus, you have life. Eternal life. If you don't know Jesus, you are dead. Again, don't lose your place in Mark, but look at the end of John chapter 3. Everybody loves the middle of John chapter 3. What's the middle of John chapter 3? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that beautiful? But look at the end of John chapter 3. Let's look at verse 35 and 36. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes slash obeys the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects slash does not obey the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains on him. It doesn't say for God's wrath will come upon him. It says we're already under wrath. What Jesus does is he takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. He makes all things new. We were part of this kingdom. That kingdom is under God's wrath. And the astounding thing is that Jesus came and took the wrath we deserve so that we could come into the kingdom of his dear Son. Please notice my emphasis on the word kingdom, because that's running all through here. It's the kingdom of God. Guess who's not king in the kingdom of God? You and me. Satan lied to us in the garden and said, you can be like God. You can be your own boss. You can do your own thing. You don't have to obey him. Just do what you want. I know you want to eat that fruit. Guess who they were obeying when they did that? They didn't achieve freedom. They became slaves to a serpent. Now, when you and I are in our lost condition, it seems perfectly normal. When the Bible talks about repentance, it's talking about a U-turn. Everybody else is going this way on the broad way that leads to destruction. We repent and start going against traffic. And it looks like we're crazy. People think, what are you doing? You must be out of your mind. We're going to have a collision here, and we will. There'll be a lot of collisions if you endeavor to follow Jesus. A lot of people are going to be hitting you, coming the other way, and they think they're right and you're crazy. You only go around once, got to grab all the gusto you can get. Look out for number one. You don't take care of yourself, nobody else is going to. It's okay to be religious, but don't get crazy. The good news is about Jesus. If you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, a personal relationship with him changes everything. If you don't, you're just going to wear yourself out going through the motions. The most miserable life in the world is a non-Christian trying to behave like a Christian. I mean, it's awful. It's absolutely awful because it can't be done. And for those of us in ministry who try and get non-Christians to behave like Christians, it's like pushing a rope uphill. It just doesn't work. But when a person falls in love with Jesus, when they trust him, then they want to please him. They want to do it because Jesus says so. I can't see into your hearts. But let me just ask honestly, do you want to do what Jesus says out of love for Jesus, out of gratitude for what he's done for you? It is really good news. And it is all about Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, we read it last week. I want to remind you of the gospel, which I preached to you. You believed it. You've taken your stand on it. This is the most important thing, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. And on the third day, he was raised again according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. It's not about anything we did. It's entirely about Jesus, who he is and what he's done. It's what it's all about. That's what the gospel, according to Mark, is all about. It's all about Jesus. You know what the gospel of Matthew is about? It's about Jesus. You know what the gospel according to Luke is about? It's about Jesus. You know what the Gospel of John is about? It's about Jesus. Four witnesses pointing people to him, saying he's the one who can save you. He's the one who loves you. He's the one who makes all the difference. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. And so, in this gospel, we will see Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of God. May God grant it. May he open our eyes to see Jesus. And may we love and trust him always.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.